Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. And then we will find ourselves in the end in Matthew's 26. I have to give you this way so that you can piece together and understand what is taking place in the life of Jesus Christ. Matthew's 25, verse 31 declares, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Just say, "I'm going from grace to glory." Okay. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Verse 34 declares, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Matthew's 26. Verse 6 declares, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came upon him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat or dinner. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall be also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her." I want to preach to you from this subject, an anointing for the age to come. An anointing for the age to come. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak a word to us today that changes everything. A word that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A word that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Father, touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears so that we can hear it. The most important thing this morning is that, God, you get accomplished what you set out to do. So we say, have your way. Do whatever you want, Lord. This is your house, and we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, and say, I have an appointment, so I need an anointing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've been preaching to you all month long that God has an appointment with you. And it is that appointment that you have to understand that he has every intention of making sure that he releases a glory that has not been seen yet, which means that we find ourselves at a tipping point in the body of Christ where God is releasing new anointings for a new day, and what used to work will no longer work. And the reason why so many people are misunderstanding this next wave and next move is because it doesn't look like anything that we like. God. It doesn't have the church sound. It doesn't have the organ blaring. It doesn't have the Hammond B3 going down. Everybody's not shouting like you or dancing like you. And sometimes that doesn't work either. You're not here. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that the anointing of yesterday has been outdated. And God is about to release a glory on the body of Christ that's going to require a new anointing. And it might not sound like the old anointing sounds, but it's going to be just as effective. For some reason in the body of Christ, we have now mistaken noise with the anointing. Just because something is loud doesn't mean it's anointed. Just because it sounds like church doesn't mean it's anointed. Just because it looks like church doesn't mean it's anointed. The anointing in Scripture was designed for one specific purpose. It was to bring healing and wholeness. It was to coronate a king. It was to be used for special occasion. If you were sick in your body, they would make a healing ointment, if you will. The Bible says they called it a balm, the balm of Gilead. And whenever you were sick, they would mix these spices together to make this balm, and it will lay on your body and you will be healed in a matter of days. The anointing was used for healing, but also the anointing was used to destroy yokes. In other words, when somebody was using an ox, if you will, in agricultural purposes, and they were using an ox to tread out the field, the ox would have a yoke on them. I'm not talking about eggs over easy. The ox would have a yoke on them, meaning that there would be restraints on the ox so that the farmer can be able to turn the ox wherever he want to. But because of the heat of Palestine, the yoke that was on the neck of the ox will become restrictive. And to get the yoke off, the farmer would have to go and get some oil and put it around the yoke or the neck of the ox so that the yoke would start getting easy and break off. Meaning the yoke that he used on the ox, he would have to then create a new one every time because the yoke would be broken. Jesus said it this way. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Meaning whatever I put on you, you might feel restrained, but it's easy to handle. It fits because when I give it to you, I give it to you with an anointing. Slap your name and say, "You're anointed for a new age." Come on, you're anointed for a new age. In other words, information today you can get anywhere. At the click of a button, at the drop of a dime, you can learn anything you want to learn. But there's one thing that Google will never teach you. It will never teach you about the presence and the power of God, because that has to be experienced all on its own. You can look at all the TED Talks you want to, but until God comes and gives you a personal encounter and you know without a shadow of a doubt of who he is for yourself, I wish I had somebody to talk to. You'll never experience it. There is an entire generation out here that doesn't know what it feels like to have the peace of God, that doesn't know what it feels like to be bound by some addiction, and in one moment of praise and worship without any therapy whatsoever, that yoke being broke off of your life. There's a whole generation out there that doesn't know what it feels like to be in high praise, that when you leave, you feel like you're floating on cloud nine and that you can do anything you set your heart to do. There's an entire generation out there, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting already, that doesn't know that when you begin to clap your hands, that all of the devils begin to tremble because you are asserting your authority
as somebody that's created in the image and the likeness of God. That when you put hand upon hand, the devil is served notice. I'm a child of the living God. There's an entire generation out there that doesn't know the power of which you possess. And in order for them to experience spirituality, they're going to TED Talks and they're going to Google and they're YouTubing. Y'all ain't said nothing to look at church because they haven't seen the church. Y'all ain't said nothing. And God is then raising up then a new generation of believer that has a new anointing for a new day that can walk into an atmosphere and set that thing because of the presence of God on the inside of them that doesn't mind being a little bit distinct from everybody else, who doesn't have to apologize for what they believe. Educated and still talk in tongues. Learned, y'all ain't said nothing, but still know how to get on your face and be prostrate before the Lord. Got my master's degree, but I will bless the Lord at all times. I feel like preaching in here, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh God, slap your neighbor and say, I moved up, but I still know how to move heaven. I wish I had somebody. I moved up, but I still know how to move heaven. Yes, I got a good job, but I'm a praiser. Yes, I got a nice house, but I'm a worshiper. Yet, I ain't got no help in here. I ain't got no help. Oh, no help. I ain't got no help. I'm going to break through this thing. I ain't got a lot of time. Here we go. The anointing is very powerful. And the one thing that hasn't passed in succession is the understanding of why we need the anointing. And therefore, the generations of past showed us how to be powerful. We had mighty prayer warriors and mighty generals of the faith that taught us about healing and the gifts of God. People like Lester Summerall and A.A. Allen and Catherine Kuhlman and William Seymour. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about up in here. Men and women of God like Oral Roberts, come on here, somebody, that showed us how to operate in the gifts of God, showed us how to be powerful, and many, many, many more unnamed individuals that you'll never know their name, but they were in a little storefront somewhere breaking off yokes and strongholds off of people's lives and are still doing it today. I'm preaching way better than y'all is shouting. There are many generals in the faith. You'll never know their name, but they operated in the gifts of God. My God, without any comparison, they brought dead people back to life again, and they spoke, my God, to the principalities and powers, and whole areas was, which has a raise for the kingdom of God. You have to understand that that anointing for that day was needed, but today there has to be a new anointing for a new age. God, slap your neighbor a high five and say, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm about to get something. Just go and tell him. Just go and tell him. Just go and tell him. Because y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? Don't even worry about it. Just look at him and say, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm about to get something. I gotta hurry. When the Bible talks about the anointing, here's what's now. The anointing had the anointing oil had to be made. It didn't come, it didn't come in a box, and it didn't come at the store. You couldn't go and buy it. You had to make it. You had to mix all the stuff you had. I wish I had somebody to talk to. And you had to make it for a specific purpose and a specific use. And so you had to understand that the anointing, I don't have time, I won't take the time to take you through all of the incense and all of the spices that would go, but the anointing oil was for light and for lamps. The anointing oil was for the coronation of kings. Whenever a king was coronated, they would pour oil over his head. Or whenever a priest was anointed, they would pour oil over his head. Or whenever somebody needed healing, they would pour oil over that individual. Or if you wanted to light the lamps in your house, you needed oil to light the lamps in your house. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You don't understand it yet, but you're going to get there. Spirit. And so you had to understand the anointing was for specific uses. It was for illumination in the dark. It was for healing in your body. And it was for the coronation of a king or a priest. It was for the lighting of the lamps, for illumination in the dark. It was for, I wish I had a church to talk to. It was for healing in your body. It was for the coronation of a king or for a priest. So the anointing oil had four capacities. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to get a fourfold anointing in my life. I'm going to have an anointing to go into the dark places and be the light. For the Bible says we were called out of darkness and into the... I'm feeling... Why are y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm anointed to go into the darkness. The devil is a liar. I'm anointed to go into the darkness. There are some dark places in society, and God is about to give you an anointing. Look at y'all sitting at me looking like I'm crazy. All right. There's some dark spaces in your family, and God is about to anoint you to bring your family members out. All right, all right. The devil is a liar. I'm going to go ahead and get through this. The Bible says Moses took the anointing. My God, he took the anointing. And he had to pour it upon the altar. And the Bible says he did this at the coronation of Aaron being come the priest. And he poured it all over Aaron's head. And it came down off of his beard and all through his garments. The thing about the anointing, when it begins to be poured out, it becomes contagious. And so not only can you not self-anoint, you cannot also be selfish with the anointing. Because when the anointing comes upon you, it comes upon you to flow down into the cracks and the crevices of life. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your neighbor and say, you got to share this thing. When God begins to release to you what he's about to release to you in moments, you have to have the heart and the willingness to go into the dark places because you're the light. The Bible says in Isaiah the 10th chapter, verse 27, and it shall come to pass that in that day that this burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, yokes are about to be destroyed because of the anointed. Somebody that just comes to know you is about to have a better life because of the anointing that is resting upon you. God, I'm preaching better than y'all is shouting in here. The Bible says in James 5:14, is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint that individual with oil in the name of the Lord and they shall be healed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to heal a whole lot of people because of the anointing. Y'all not in here with me. Because of the anointing. 1 John 2:27 says this, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you, watch me now, you don't have need that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. In other words, to remain anointed, you have to stay connected to the source from which the anointing flows. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to stay connected to the Lord to remain anointed. Come on here. Okay, okay, okay. All right. I don't have time. When kings were crowned, the priest was to come, or the prophet was to come, and pour oil on their heads. Jesus is now at the place of fulfilling his purpose and his destiny for why he was on the earth. And before his anointing comes, it doesn't come from a priest or a prophet, but rather a prostitute. Because in the old covenant, the anointing required a priest or a prophet, but because it was a new age to come and the gospel was about to go places it never went, the anointing had to come from a new place. Oh, I'm preaching to yourself. And so God says, I'll use a prostitute to let the people in the old covenant understand, or who was still operating in their tradition, understand that I can use whoever I want to use whenever I want to use them. Oh, I feel an anointing in here. Slap your name and say, are you ready? 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 So Jesus, before he gets his anointing in Matthew 26, he begins in Matthew 24 by trying to teach his disciples that there's a new anointing coming for a new day. And he's trying to tell them, so he gives them these four parables. Yes, four parables or short stories about the kingdom of God. And he begins in Matthew 24 and begins to tell them these parables about the watchful servant. Look at your neighbor and say, get your faith eyes open. Get your faith eyes open. And as he begins to share that information about the watchful servant in Matthew 24, he begins to tell them that the temple is going to be destroyed and so forth and so on. And he begins to talk about how he's going to come back and how he's going to resolve all things. And then he gives an illustration, if you will, about in the days of Noah. He begins to talk about, before the days of Noah, he begins to talk about the parable of the fig tree, and he begins to talk about branches is tender and it puts forth leaves, and that's how you know summer is coming. This is when Jesus, obviously, he had already cursed the fig tree, because when he came in to Jerusalem, he saw the fig tree and he saw the leaves on the tree, but the tree had no fruit produced. When you have an anointing to do a thing, but you want to operate in the old anointing, you'll declare it's not your time, or you'll declare it's your time and your season. Y'all ain't said nothing. But when the master shows up who created you and demands something of you, he's not looking for leaves, he's looking for fruit. So we've settled for looking pretty and looking like church rather than actually being, y'all ain't said nothing, the church. And so he used the fig tree to say, this is the condition of Israel, because, or the church, or my people, because you look like you got power and you look like you got something to offer. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. There are people out here suffering and dying when I have mandated and ordained you and anointed you, y'all ain't said nothing, to go into the waste places and build it back up again. To speak life into dead situations. Y'all ain't said nothing to me, but you're showing up with just leaves instead of fruit. Slap your name and say, get ready to be more productive than you have ever been in your life. You're not just going to look like you saved. Folk going to actually know you're saved. They're going to know you by your fruit. God, I'm preaching about it. Slap your name and say, I'm going to get some stuff done in the fourth quarter. I'm preaching to somebody in here. I'm going to get some stuff done in the fourth quarter. I wish I had a church. You can sit on me all you want to, but I came to talk to just a few people that's ready to step into their purpose like they never stepped into it before. Look at your name and say, you better not miss out. You better not miss out. Like the fig tree, it had a choice. And so Jesus then talks about the illustration of the days of Noah, that, listen, nobody knew that the flood was coming. Nobody understood that. And Noah's out here building the ark talking about get ready. Noah's building the ark and talking about something's coming that ain't nobody ever seen before, because it hadn't rained yet, because it was about to be a new anointing. Y'all ain't said nothing. And because nobody saw it, because the earth was saturated by the dew instead of it from the rain. So it was built to come from the ground up instead of from heaven down. Y'all are just missing me right there. Y'all. Where y'all at this morning? Where y'all at this morning? And so the way God designed the thing was for whatever the earth to produce was to come from the ground up, meaning that the water was already inside of the earth and it could water itself. But what we've come into is to send it down, Jesus, and God is saying, no, send it up. Y'all ain't said nothing. So God brought us to a tipping point where the send it down is not working anymore. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And now we're about to transition to bring it up. He ain't sending it down. You about to, there's a well of living water down in your soul. I'm just going to preach to this side over here that want to have some church. Slap your name and say, there's a well of living water in my soul. I'm about to bring up every gift, every purpose, every talent. God, I feel an anointing in here that God has put on the inside of me. The greater is he that is in you. Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. And so he begins to tell that illustration. And he says, I called no man. Watch me now. He says, look, you know, y'all was out eating, drinking, and being merry and having a good time. Y'all ain't here with me. Huh? While Noah was preparing and building this thing, but y'all wasn't listening. So he says, two going to be in the field, and one shall be taken away, and the other left. Two women's going to be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken away and the other left. He says, therefore, in verse 42, watch therefore. Look at your neighbor and says, you got to watch. You got to watch. Come on, this is my first point. This is my first point. This is my first point. That's why I've been preaching. Get your faith eyes open. Look at your neighbor and say, watch what happens next, because what happens next is about to be all God. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. Come on, don't just look at me. Don't just look at me. Look at your neighbor and say, get your faith eyes open and watch what happens next. You think God ain't up to something, and I'm trying to tell you, he's been working on something for a very long time, and he's about to bring that stuff to pass. And while you're sitting there worrying about your life, somebody's going to be taken and somebody's going to be left behind. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm not being left. I'm going wherever God is going. I'm not getting left out. The Bible just told you that when he comes, he's coming like a thief in the night. Y'all, I said, and when it shows up, somebody's going to get it and somebody going to be stuck, because somebody was watchful. And while you're sitting there talking about, I don't understand, and I need seven more hermeneutical points, y'all ain't said nothing. I need seven more hermeneutical points of an exegetical discussion. And just look at your name and say, God about to do something and I ain't missing it. Come on here. I just simplified it for you. God is up to something and I ain't missing it for my life. I ain't altogether right, but I am altogether righteous. It ain't deep. It ain't deep. Come on, come on, give me 10 minutes. So watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. So watch this. He then says, so you got to be watchful. Why? Because somebody is going to be working and somebody is going to be taken. Look at your name and say, rapture drill. Y'all, look, y'all can't even say the word rapture. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Look at your name and say, rapture drill. When I was growing up and I was a little kid, we had the rapture ingrained in our heads so much because the Lord was coming any day. So you had to live rapture ready. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, what's the rapture? That's when the Lord comes back for his saints, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then they which remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And I'm just asking God for a little bit of Michael Jordan hang time. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So I can look at the folk I've been preaching to and say, I told you he was coming. Slap your name and say, don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. There's about to be a rapture of blessing and a rapture of increase and a rapture of healing and a rapture of anointing and a rapture of power and a rapture of prestige and a rapture. God, I feel you. You're not in here with me. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah, hallelujah. He then says the same thing in a different way in verse 45 when he begins to talk about his faithful and wise servant. Look at your neighbor and say, be watchful. Come on, be watchful. Look at him again and say, be wise, be wise, be wise. So first anointing is going to be an anointing that opens up your eyesight. In other words, God is about to give you the ability to see what no one else sees. There's about to be vision in your life like it's never been before, because vision is a matter of the heart. Come on here, not the eyes. You hear a vision, you don't see a vision. I feel like preaching to somebody in here, but God has to open up your faith eyes so that when he tells you he's about to do a thing and use you to do it, you might not see how it's going to happen on the outside, but on the inside, you know there's a wellspring of life in you that God has been preparing you for. Am I talking to anybody in here? And he's about to launch you into that vision and into that purpose. Did you hear? Did you get all that? Uh-huh. So watchfulness. The second one is the story about the wise servant. I'm almost there. The wise servant. And the Bible says the wise servant whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Oh, I feel an anointing in here. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm due. No. Come on. You really got to get me. If you don't even understand all I'm saying, just say what I say. Look at your name and say, I'm due, I'm due, I'm due, I'm due. I had to look this up. And I know she's going to preach this later. I had to look this up and I said, I said, my God, I never really looked at the understanding of a due season. God operates in seasons, but he also operates in cycles. Mm-hmm. A season, if you will, he set for time markers, months, days. And so we have fall, we have winter. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have hot, we have cold. Those are called seasons. And we've been running around talking about it's my time and season. And we got that wrong. For the Bible says that time really belongs unto the Lord, and no man really knows the time, the day, or the hour, or the season. But then God then comes back and says, but I will give you a due season. The word due season means I'll give you a cycle in a season. Y'all ain't said nothing. That will break everything that was normal in your life and give you a new normal, which means you can never get back to the old chaos that used to operate in your life. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm getting a new cycle for a new season, and I'm due. Y'all ain't said nothing. Meaning it belongs to you, and nobody can take it. Do it this way. Do it this way. Just look at your name and go, it's my turn. No, you can't just say it. You got to do it. You got to look at him and go, no, this is my turn. You don't get it. You don't get it. Oh, God, I feel like... No. This is my turn. So, you know what I'm saying? No. God, no, this is my turn. Not like you get a turn, I get a turn. No, it's just my turn. God has totally brought me around to a whole different place. Slap your name and say, God has brought me a mighty Lord. I feel an anointing in here. God is turning your life in a whole new direction. Oh, y'all not it. You still looking at me. Come on with your slow self. You better get the turning, y'all ain't sick. Slap my neighbor and say, it's my turn, it's my turn. If you got half of anointing, shout next, next, next. Oh, God, I'm feeling anointing here. Next, next, next. Look at the name and say, it's my turn, it's my turn. The way our solar system is set up, stay with me. Y'all sit down. The way our solar system is set up, is that it has a constant. This constant is the star that is the lifeblood of our universe. It's called the sun. And every planet in our system has to have a turn. Rotating. Around the one thing that's constant. Ah, I feel an anointing in here. And God put his children on the planet that was close enough to the life source where it could have a turn but not be destroyed in the turn. So I can come full circle and not feel the effects of the turn. Just shout, it's a due season. Come on here. I got to get to where I need to go. I don't have time to explain all of it to you, but you get the point. And so when God gives you a due season, he gives you a cycle that cannot be broken. And in that cycle, you'll have winter, you'll have cold, you'll have spring, you'll have summer. Y'all ain't said nothing. You'll have all of the semblance of things changing, but you know it's coming back around again. So stuff you miss, you won't have to be upset about because you know it's coming back around again. And you miss some stuff. I know I'm talking to somebody a few years ago, and God is saying to you this morning, now it's coming back around. Get your eyes open. Am I helping anybody? All right, come on, come on. I can't keep you forever. I got to get in football season shape. Come on. We got to get out of here by 12:15. Football season. I got about 10. So he says in the second parable leading up to where I had you, he says you got to be wise because the due season that's coming. He says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing. Not find him just waiting, but doing. So the first parable, he says, watch, get your eyes open. The second parable, he says, be wise. Huh? Work while you're watching. Here with me. In other words, start doing what you know God called you to do. I wish I had somebody in here. Before you even realize it's doable. Okay, here we go. Then in chapter 25, he then skips over and he gives a whole different parable and he makes a shift. And in the shift, he says, this is how you use your wisdom. When you're watchful and you use your wisdom, he's in a progression here in these four parables. So the first parable, be watchful. The second parable, be wise. Start doing something. Now I'm going to show you how to do it. He then tells a story about 10 virgins. And he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps. Come on, stay with me. Which took their lamps. The anointing oil was for lamps. Come on, stay with me. Lamps, for healing the sick, for the coronation of a king or a priest. Now, okay, now, so now we got the 10 virgins who are now, watch me now, taking their lamps and went forth to meet their bridegroom. The five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish, because this parable is advancing the theme of the watchfulness and the faithfulness and the wisdom of the readiness of the servant. And so he says that these 10 virgins, if you will, they begin to take their lamps because they're going to meet their bridegroom. Now, I need you to understand that the word lamp here is a little bit different than the normal lamp, because in typical Palestinian home, it was this large dome-shaped container with rags soaked in the oil to light the way while a person was walking outside. In other words, the oil that people would use for their regular lamps was to light it inside. But God says these 10 virgins used lamps that would light the outside, because they realized when the bridegroom showed up that they had to go and meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom wasn't coming to them, but they had to go to him. Y'all not in here with me. In other words, the church has been lighting the lamp on the inside rather than taking the outside torches and saying, come on, we're going to meet. Slap your name and say, I need a new anointing. Come on here. That new anointing requires you to have the ability to light the lamp on the outside rather than lighting the lamp on the inside. Does that make sense to you? The Bible says the wise virgins went and they begin to make ready their lamps. And the foolish ones did not. And so the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and they slept, meaning there was nothing wrong with getting some rest while God is about to do what he's going to do. But I'm prepared if he chooses to show up at any moment and any hour. And the Bible says that the foolish virgins, when they arose, the Bible says they begin to ask the other virgins that went on ahead and trimmed their lamps and had it already prepared for the bridegroom to show up. They said to them, give us your oil. Stay with me. Give us your oil. I'm almost there. Give us your oil. Give us your oil. Give us your oil. And the wise and watchful virgin says, I don't think so. Because if you went through what I went through to get this anointing, I just can't give it away to you. You gotta get your own. Look at your name and say, you gotta get your own. It's gonna cost you something. And the Bible says that the other virgins had to go and find oil. And when they went to find oil, by the time they came back to the bridegroom, the door was shut. The door was shut. You don't hear me. The door was shut. The door was shut. This anointing that God is about to release is a limited window of opportunity. Oh, you're not hearing me. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready. Because when it's shut, it's shut. The Bible says, I'll open a door that no man can open. And he also says, I will shut a door. I'll shut a door that no man can open. I'll open a door that no man can shut. There's a limited window of opportunity here. Meaning you have to be ready now. What's your reaction time? Come on, stay with me. I'm almost there. What's your reaction time going to be like? Jesus then finishes the whole thing up, my God, as he's beginning to try to let his disciples know, I gave you all of this so that you can understand this one concept. And he finishes the whole thing up by saying, here's the parable of the talents. So he gives the parable of the wise servant. He gives the parable of the watchful servant. He gives the parable of the wise virgins, and then he gives the parable of the worth of the talents. And so you have to understand that this anointing does not only come with watchfulness, this anointing does not only come with wisdom, this anointing does not only come with a limited window of opportunity, this anointing comes with a new net worth. Look at your neighbor and say, God is about to increase your net worth. I am preaching way better than y'all are shouting in here. When the Lord begins to talk about the parable of the profitable character qualities of those that would await his return and the preparedness of those who would await the coming, he says that this is like a wealthy landowner who entrusted his goods or his property to his servants. And the Bible begins to let us know that he gave each person according to their ability. I had to do some math and some research to understand this in our terminology. And so to do some math, the wealthy landowners, of course, obviously always according to the scripture and the time of this culture, he would trust his servants with his property and his affairs. And when they went away on business or for personal dealings, the landowner, if you will, would give them a liquid disposable income. In other words, I'm going to give you this, and I want you to do something with it. And so the Bible lets us know that he had a liquid disposability of at least 8 talents, if you will. And so I had to do some math on the value of the talent and got time to talk about that. But what I came up to is that in terms of today's value, the landowner dispersed approximately $1,977,600 to 3 servants. So the landowner was leaving. He says, I'm going to give you $1.9 million. Do something with it. I know you missed it, because if you got it, you would run around this church. You are a servant. You have nothing. Here's $1.9 million. It's not the amount. Just stay with me. It's the mindset. Do something with it. The one servant he gave 5 to says, oh, I've been watchful enough and waiting for enough for him to trust me. And I know that I'm in a position of serving now. But I know if he sees me as faithful, he can give me much more than what he just gave me. Please, I'm killing this thing this morning. So the one servant says, I'm going to go produce. I'm going to do something while he's gone. And when he comes back, he's going to see what I have done with what he gave me. I will not allow him to come back and see me in the same position and condition in which he left me. He left me with some worth, and I'm going to increase that worth because he saw something on the inside of me to let me know greater. The second servant did the same thing. Stay with me. The second servant did the same thing. One he gave 5, one he gave 2, one he gave 1. That's 8. I'm just joking, y'all, because that's how y'all look. 8. Those 8 talents of gold were worth $1.9 million. So he divvied up according to ability. You get 5, you do the math yourself. You get 2, you get 1. The one that got 1 took what he gave him, stay with me, and hit it. 5 minutes, I promise, we out of here. And he hit it, and he buried it in the ground. The master comes back, and he looks at the ones that were, watch me now, faithful. Because they understood worth. He says, you've been faithful over few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. Meaning, what I trusted you with wasn't really for you. I just wanted to see if you can handle this portion. Now I got much more for you to manage. I'm on this thing prophetically. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. And so the second one did the same thing. The one, I got to get to this guy. He took his talent, he took his portion, and he buried it. Why? It wasn't because of the economy. It wasn't because of recession. It wasn't because of Donald Trump. It wasn't. Okay, I'm sorry if you're a Trumper. I'm sorry. It wasn't because of Hillary. It wasn't because of any government official. No policy. It was no. He took it because of how he felt about the master and hit it. He said, you are a hard taskmaster. And I knew if I would have lost it, stay with me.
How can it be a hard taskmaster when he loved you while you were still a sinner? How can he be a hard taskmaster when he's giving you mercy after grace after mercy after grace after mercy after grace? I'm talking to somebody here. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. How can he be? So Jesus gives these parables to let his disciples know a new anointing is coming. And it's coming from a place you don't expect. And now they're at a house in Bethany. And in walks a woman who has a history that suggests she shouldn't even have an audience with Jesus. Jesus is about to be coronated as the King of Kings. He's about to be anointed the high priest that knows the feeling of our infirmities. And the person that gives the anointing oil is a prostitute. I am preaching way better than y'all are shouting. It's not a prophet like Samuel. It's not a prophet like Isaiah. It's not somebody with prestige. It's not somebody from the Sanhedrin Council, but it's a prostitute. It's an individual who has very little worth. And what she has in her little box is 1 year's salary, meaning it's an entire cycle of her life. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. And she took the old cycle and broke it open and saying, I'm going to anoint Jesus, what used to be my livelihood, but no longer works for me, because I need a new anointing for a new day. Slap your name and say, you better break the box open, because God wants to release a new anointing in your life for a new day. You better take all the old pain of the old cycle of your life and say, I'm not worthy to be here, but God allowed me the grace to be here anyway to change my worth. Am I preaching to anybody in this room? She broke open the box and anointed his head and his feet. And in the process, she was healed from all the emotional pain, stigma of her past life. And the disciples, in their old anointing, says, we could use that to feed the poor. They weren't worrying about no poor. And Jesus tells them this when he says, I'm going to gather the nations, because when I come, I'm coming with my angels. And I'm going to separate the sheep from the goat. And I'm going to say, I was hungry. And I was thirsty. And I was naked. And I want to know, do you have the ability to see me? Are you watchful enough to see me? And they said to him, Lord, when did we clothe you? When did we feed you? We don't remember this. He says, when you do these to the least of these, you've done it for me. God is releasing an anointing on your life to see things and do things that no one else does, that no one else sees. And when he releases it, it comes not only with a watchfulness and with a wisdom on a how-to, but it comes with a new worth. Meaning this anointing, and I'm saying this part as sober as I can without the flamboyant style that I sometimes possess. This anointing, oh God, I feel you. I feel you. I just got to get it in the atmosphere. This anointing is coming with such wealth at a level to which you cannot imagine. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because we don't have time to waste. This is a new anointing. You don't hear me? When the master's about to show up and says, here's 1.9 million. Here's what you need to do this. Here's what you need to do that. Here's what you need to do this. Take this and go do that. Y'all sitting here looking at me like I'm crazy. I don't care. It's in there. I receive it. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm telling you what the Lord is doing. And I'm telling you what the Lord said. The old anointing. Listen to me. The old anointing that built the body of Christ to where it is today was built by individuals who stepped out on nothing. Absolutely nothing. Bishop C.H. Mason, absolutely nothing. Y'all don't even know. Alan Payne, absolutely nothing. You don't even know what I'm talking about. There are organizations that bear the marks of these people anointing that still exist. AME Church, Church of God in Christ. William Seymour, Church of God, Assemblies of God. Then they stepped out on nothing because they had nothing. But God's saying, I'm bringing the body of Christ full circle, where now I'm going to start dispersing to my servants. I'm going to release wisdom, and I'm going to release a faith that causes you to be watchful for the things of God. And you don't hear what I'm saying, but it's a limited window of opportunity. And one person's going to be working, and one person's going to be taken, because the person taken was watchful enough to be ready. One person taken and brought into the bridegroom with the bridegroom is going to be watchful enough to have their lamps ready for the outside rather than for the inside. And when I release it, it's going to be people looking at like, where are you, Lord? And you're not going to see what they see. And you're not going to be able to do what they do. I wish I could tell you it's for everybody. But it's not. Because you're still sitting there worrying about your little problem, learning about your little circumstance, worrying about your little selfish self. And I love you. But you got to get over you. God is about to do a new thing. And it's far more greater than paying your bills and getting you out of trouble and hardship. And so that anointing that used to work in the church, where we would say, you coming out, God is saying, you out. And you ain't ever going back in. You don't hear what I'm saying? You don't have to have a woe is me mentality anymore. You don't have to be talking about how I'm going to make it. God is saying to you, I'm about to give you everything you need. Because you've been faithful. You don't get it. We've been faithful. I'm done. Just stand to your feet. I'm done. Come on, we're leaving. But we've been faithful, and I know I'm speaking in language that some of you cannot understand. I get it. I understand it. But I have to get it into the atmosphere. We have been faithful. The body of Christ, all of the church, have been faithful over a few things. So what you have seen the church do has been a few things. God is about to release the much. Now, what has that got to do with you as an individual? He does it within the local assembly. So he'll take a church and make it a model or a trailblazer for the entire body of Christ. You so happen to be in said church that is being raised up as a model for the nations, who will learn and show them how to steward
much. Slap your neighbor and say, get ready for much, 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 much. I just need 20 folk that believe what I'm saying and touch somebody and say, much, 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 much joy, much peace, much resource, much, much, much. God, much influence.